All right, everyone, welcome back to the show for another deep dive. And today we are tackling contracts and agency relationships. And you know those mechanics leaners that everyone loves to hate?
Yes, the dreaded mechanics leaner is always a fun topic.
Right. But really, when these things all come together, it can get messy fast. And we've got a case that perfectly illustrates this whole situation. Vandy Costas, Inky Rosenberg. Mm-hmm. So for anyone out there dealing with contracts, especially if you're representing clients in construction or real estate, this case is like a cautionary tale.
It really is. And what makes this case so interesting is it's not some obscure legal principle. It's something that could easily happen in any business setting. And that's what makes it so important.
Exactly. You know, imagine you're a contractor. You just finished a big renovation project. You're expecting to get paid, and then all of a sudden you're hit with a lawsuit and a lien is filed against the property.
Oh, yeah. That's every contractor's worst nightmare.
For sure. And suddenly you're not just worried about getting paid, but you might even be personally liable for the whole mess. And that's what happened in Vandy Costas.
Yeah. This case really highlights the importance of understanding agency law. You know, who's responsible for what when you're acting on behalf of someone else.
Okay. So let's break down the players in this legal drama.
All right, so we've got Gilbert Rosenberg, he's the property owner, and then we have his son, Jeff Rosenberg, who's the president of their family business, Seascape Restaurants, Inc. And Seascape runs this restaurant called The Magic Moment on Gilbert's property.
Okay, a classic family business situation.
Exactly. So they decide they want to give this restaurant a facelift, a fancy new entrance, so they bring in Vandy Costas, Inc. as the contractor to do the work.
Sounds straightforward enough. So where do things start to go off the rails?
Well, Jeff signs the contract for these renovations, but he signs it as Jeff Rosenberg, The Magic Moment.
Okay, and what's the problem with that? It sounds pretty normal to me.
Well, to the untrained eye, it might seem fine, but legally speaking, it's a big no-no because there's absolutely no mention of Seascape Restaurants, Inc. anywhere in that contract.
Ah, so that seemingly small detail ends up being the linchpin of the entire case.
Precisely so. Of course, disputes arise about payment.
Yeah.
Things get heated. And Vandy Costas files a mechanics lien against Gilbert's property, and they slap both Gilbert and Jeff with a lawsuit for breach of contract.
Now, wait a minute. Wouldn't it be reasonable for Vandy Costas to assume that the magic moment was tied to Seascape Restaurants?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could they have figured that out with a little digging?
That's a good question. And that's exactly what the trial court thought initially.
Really?
Yeah. They sided with Jeff, ruling that he wasn't personally liable because he was acting on behalf of the business, right? Seems reasonable. And they also said the lien against Gilbert's property was invalid. So at first glance, case closed, everyone can move on.
But I'm guessing that's not the end of the story.
You guess it, the appellate court comes in and flips the script.
No way.
Oh, yeah. They reversed the decision on Jeff's liability, but they did uphold the lien being invalid, so it's a mixed bag.
Talk about a legal roller coaster. So if Jeff was acting for the business, why would he be held personally liable just because of how he signed the contract?
This is where that crucial two-part disclosure requirement for agents comes in. It's a fundamental rule in agency law, and this case is a perfect example of why it matters. So to avoid personal liability, an agent has to do two things. They have to disclose both their agency status, A&D, the identity of their principal.
Hmm. Okay, so it's not enough to just say you're acting for someone else.
Yeah.
You have to specifically name who that someone else is.
Exactly. And the court actually made this point very clear. They said, quote, "The use of a trade name is not necessarily sufficient disclosure," end quote.
So using the restaurant's name, The Magic Moment, wasn't enough to protect Jeff?
Nope. Not even close. You know, think of it like this. Imagine you're at a networking event and someone introduces themselves as Sarah for marketing. Do you really know who they work for?
It could be anyone.
Exactly. And if Vandy Costas had no reasonable way of knowing that The Magic Moment was owned by Seascape Restaurants, Inc., then legally speaking, Jeff is on the hook.
So what should Jeff have done differently? What's the magic formula for signing that contract?
It's like a formal introduction if Jeff had signed as Seascape Restaurants, Inc. by Jeff Rosenberg, president. That would have been crystal clear. He's stating his role as an agent and naming the principal, the company he represents. No confusion, no loopholes.
So basically spell it out. Don't leave any room for interpretation.
Exactly. And that's a lesson we can all learn from, whether we're drafting contracts, signing them, or just trying to navigate the complexities of business in general.
So this case really drives home the point that those seemingly minor details in a contract can have some pretty major consequences.
Oh, absolutely. And for anyone out there who drafts contracts for a living, this case is a must read. It really highlights the importance of being precise. When you're identifying the parties in a contract, you can't just rely on assumptions or trade names. You got to spell it out clearly who's who.
Yeah, the court is basically saying, don't make me guess. Tell me exactly who's responsible here.
Exactly. And when an agent is signing a contract, that contract needs to explicitly state both the agent's role and the full legal name of the principal that they represent. No shortcuts, no ambiguity.
So it's like writing a legal haiku. Every word matters.
I like that analogy. So for our listeners out there who deal with contracts day in and day out, what are some practical tips they can use to make sure they're nailing that disclosure?
Yeah, give us the goods.
All right. So first things first, channel your inner detective. Don't just assume you know who the real contracting party is. Take the time to really clarify the relationship between the person signing and the business they represent. Is it a sole proprietorship, a partnership, an LLC? Get specific.
So due diligence and clear communication are key.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to ask those clarifying questions up front. And once you have all the intel, make sure it's reflected in the contract itself, for example. You could use language like, this agreement is made and entered into by and between company name, a state type of entity with its principal place of business at address company, and your name residing at your address, contractor.
So it's all about removing any doubt, making sure everyone's on the same page right from the get-go.
Exactly. Think of it as preventative legal medicine. You're heading off those disputes before they even start.
I love that. And it's not just about protecting your client. It's about protecting everyone involved and potentially saving a lot of heartache and legal fees down the road.
Couldn't agree more. Prevention is always better than cure.
Speaking of avoiding legal headaches, let's switch gears for a moment and talk about the mechanics leaning v. In this case, the appellate court ultimately agreed with the trial court that the lien against Gilbert's property was invalid. So what's the takeaway for property owners who might be listening?
Well, this part of the case offers some reassurance for property owners. If you haven't consented to the work being done, or if you're not contractually obligated to pay for it, a mechanic's lien shouldn't stick to you. It's like a legal sticky note. It only sticks if you agreed to the work or promised to pay for it.
So in a situation, let's say, where a tenant decides to go rogue and remodels their apartment without the landlord's knowledge or consent, the landlord's property shouldn't be held hostage by that leaning.
That's the general principle, yes. But of course, like with everything legal, there are nuances and exceptions. It's always wise for property owners to consult with an attorney if they're facing a lien situation, just to be on the safe side.
Solid advice. Knowledge is power, and understanding these nuances can help property owners protect their interests. But let's circle back to the contractor for a moment. It seems like Vandy Costas was really put in a tough spot.
Mm-hmm.
They did the work they expected to get paid. Because of a technicality in the contract, they were left holding the bag. Where's the fairness in that?
That's a great point, and it brings us to a broader point about this case. It really underscores this fundamental idea of fairness in contract law. The court stepped in to make sure that both parties were held accountable for their actions and that the contract was interpreted in a way that was just and equitable. But it's also a reminder that relying solely on the legal system to sort things out after the fact can be a long and costly process. So being proactive with clear contract drafting is essential to preventing these disputes in the first place.
It's a valuable lesson for all of us, whether we're drafting contracts, signing them, or just trying to navigate the complexities of business agreements.
Couldn't agree more. This case is a treasure trove of practical insights, especially for legal professionals.
So we've really gone in depth with Vandy Costas, Inc. v. Rosenberg, and come away with some pretty useful insights about agent liability and those, oh, so powerful mechanics liens.
Definitely. It's a case that, you know, brings home that contract law isn't just some theoretical concept. It's about real world situations, real consequences.
Right. And it really emphasizes how crucial it is to have those clear, precise agreements in place.
Couldn't agree more.
Now, thinking back to that whole situation with Gilbert and Jeff and the contractor,
yeah. You
know, sitting down to work out those renovation details, what advice would you give them based on what we've learned from this case? Like, what could they have done differently to avoid ending up in court?
Well, you know, I'd pull up a chair right next to them and say, all right, hold on a second. Before we get ahead of ourselves, let's make absolutely sure everyone is on the same page here. Jeff, tell me, are you signing this as an individual or on behalf of Seascape Restaurants?
Such a simple question, but so important.
Yeah, it really is. It's all about clarifying roles and responsibilities from the very beginning.
Absolutely. And to the contractor, I'd say, don't be afraid to ask for clarification. Make sure you know exactly who you're dealing with and get that principal's name in writing.
Right. Don't just assume anything, especially when it comes to contracts.
Right.
It can save so much trouble down the line.
This case is a great example of how those 20 little details in a contract can snowball into these huge legal battles.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
So for everyone listening out there, knowledge is power.
Oh, absolutely.
Understanding the ins and outs of contract law and agency can make all the difference.
Definitely. And, you know, if you're ever unsure about a contract or what it means to sign as an agent, don't hesitate to get legal advice.
Always better to be safe than sorry.
I agree 100%.
Well, I think we've pretty much covered everything on this fascinating case. Any last thoughts before we wrap things up?
Just to reiterate how crucial a well-drafted contract is.
Yeah, you can never just rely on a handshake in business deals.
Exactly. You need that paper trail.
All about setting those clear expectations right from the start.
You got it.
All right, everyone, that concludes our deep dive into the world of contracts, agency, and mechanics liens. Thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure breaking down this case and exploring those real-world implications.
We'll be back next time with another interesting case and more legal insights. Until then, happy lawyering, everyone.